This is another damn podcast about digital asset management. I'm Henrik de Guillard. Today I'm speaking with Dan Pirro. Dan, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Dan, how are you involved with digital asset management?
I work for Turner Broadcasting, and I am the digital asset manager for TNT, TBS, and Turner Classic Movies on-air creative services departments.
And Dan, how does a broadcast company use digital asset management?
Well, when a company as big as ours, and we're talking about, 10 national cable networks, give or take, implement a digital asset management tool, you're really dealing with an unfathomable amount of media that's coming in and out, and DAM is really the heart of our ability to get to that media. We use this system to manage all the media that's coming in, it's going out, we're sharing it between each other throughout the workday. We have one enterprise system that everybody in the company uses, but we all have our own instances. So in my case, I actually manage three different instances, one for each network. My role supports these different networks based on their different business needs. We set up each one uniquely for those networks. For example, with TNT, they deal with mostly seasonal programming. So you'll have episodic shows. They have 10, 12 episode runs. They run 10 weeks in a row. Done, and that show's going to go away for 6 months or a year until it comes back. So part of what we do is use our digital asset management tools to, once that season's over, push all that content offline, bring it back online when we're getting ready to launch the next season, and it really increases efficiencies across the board. Or shortly before I started there and was in the interview process, I think we had about 10 original shows on TNT, and just in about 2 years, it's grown to about 25. And we're dealing with different kinds of shows now, too, because now we're doing unscripted shows and, a lot of, big blockbuster shows. We had The Last Ship with Michael Bay, and there's all these big-time people that are coming in to put stuff on our network, which is great. But at the same time, for my role, it's like, okay, so we're going to have 60 terabytes of footage from that show and 40 from that show. Where's all this stuff going to go? And that's really where I come in, making sure that all these raw materials have a place to go when they come in, have a place to go when we're done with them, creating retention policies to determine how long certain things need to be around, things we don't need to keep forever. Some stuff we do need to keep forever. We have to make a long-term storage solution for certain media that has to be around forever, that we're always going to go back to. In terms of how we use it to create a central repository of a massive amount of media files. And the benefits of it are that it creates wide access where several people can use the same media at the same time. You can search for it. You can retrieve it. You have instant accessibility. You can view proxies of files that are not online years ago, you'd have to go pull a tape off a shelf, pop it in, fast forward to the part you're looking for. Oh, that's not what I need. Pop it out. Put it back on the shelf. Get the next one. And now you're just looking at a screen. You're never leaving your desk, and everything's right there in front of you. Metadata is absolutely key to finding anything. If you put something in your deep storage without applying metadata, you're never going to find it again. Whether it be as basic as possible, it's from this show, it's from this season, and it's this type of asset, be it shoot footage, a daily, an episode. Even that light level of metadata is good. And when you have the option to go in and really tag it with keywords and whatnot, it becomes more useful. At this point, the system is still new and we're still growing, and I think we're going to get to more of that in the future. But in the very early stages, we're more worried about making sure our new stuff is getting into this system and then grow the abilities of it once everybody's on board and comfortable with it. And I think the final aspect of it would be that there's a safe and secure storage method where nobody's taking a tape home, it's disappearing in the background, they accidentally recorded over it. Everything is in one place, and people have access to it, but it's not going away. And I would say those are some of the most important ways how we use digital asset management.
What are the biggest challenges and successes with digital asset management?
Well, the biggest challenge has to be putting in a new system and getting people to change their habits. It's hard to convince people that there's a better way than what they're already doing that works. The important thing as a media manager, I think, is to understand your business, how it works, and the role that DAM plays in it. Because it's easy to come in and say, you know, I'm the digital asset manager. This isn't the way that things are supposed to work, and this is what we're going to do now. And you can come in with that approach, but you're going to get some resistance and have trouble getting people to work with you. I think that the best thing you can do when getting into a new situation is to really empower your clients, include them in the decision making. If your company has gotten to the point that they need this system, they're probably already pretty successful. So you need to kind of understand that success and know the scope of the project that you're putting in so that you can work with these people and kind of allow them to do things the way that they like to do them, but still improve processes regularly. So I think when you can recognize the history behind why things are done the way that they're done, and let people be a part of making this new system with you, that's really the best way to get buy-in from your clients. And I would say that that's probably my biggest success with the networks I'm supporting right now, is really just being able to say that it was a team effort, even though, you know, I might be managing the project myself.
What advice would you like to share with DAM professionals and people aspiring to become DAM professionals?
Whether you're a DAM professional or not, you know, if you're a producer, an editor, really anybody that's looking to be in the media business, networking is probably the most important thing that you can do. One thing that I like to tell people is you can have all the skills in the world, but they won't get you a job. You can keep your job with one, but if you don't have a network of people to go to, you're never going to get a job to apply those skills. The most important thing you could do these days is talk to other people that do what you do. Compare notes, talk shop, go to conferences. You know, hopefully you'll be with a company that's supportive enough to send you to them, because they could be costly if not. But just really see what your peers are doing, because by seeing what they do, you're going to be able to do your own job better. If you're an aspiring digital asset management professional, get on LinkedIn, join discussions, ask questions. Just find other people to do what you do, because a lot of times, if you're just approaching somebody and saying like, hey, help me with this job, they might not be so receptive. But if you talk to people and talk to them about what they do and why they make certain decisions, I think they're going to be really open to discussing things with you. And then later down the line, when you need them for that favor, you're going to be in a pretty good position, because they're going to say, oh, I remember this guy, and he was really cool to talk to about DAM and or producing or editing, whatever it may be. I think LinkedIn is like the most powerful tool to anybody in my industry right now. And it boggles my mind when I talk to people around the office, whatever, that just, you know, I'm not on there yet. I'll get to it one of these days. Don't wait. Get on there. It can't hurt. And you're going to connect with people that you worked with 10 years ago and be like, oh, look, that person works at NBC now. You know, now you have a contact at NBC. Great. And another thing to do, if you're really aspiring to get into DAM, find a way to incorporate it into your personal life. In my case, I am a music nut. I love collecting. I have to have like the whole discography of every artist that I love, you know? So I have like 50,000 media files, and they all have artwork. They all have metadata. The year that the album came out, what artist, what album, you know, the ratings in iTunes, is this 3 stars, 4 stars, 5 stars? So I can make a playlist of Rolling Stones songs from the 70s, which in my opinion are their best years, exclude live albums, and only include songs that I've ranked as 4 stars and 5 stars. So where your friend might want to make a Rolling Stones playlist, and it'll take him 3 hours to go through everything and say, like, oh, I want these songs, and maybe that one, maybe not, I'll come back and decide later. They can work on it for 3 hours. At the click of a button, I have my playlist, and I'm already listening to it, you know? So just finding any way, be it your personal movie collection, whatever, find a way to incorporate it into your life. And then if you're not already in the field, you're going to go on interviews and explain to people why you're the best person for the job. If you don't have that past experience, at least give them something like that. Because you have digital asset managers in everyday life every day that don't even realize that what they're doing with iTunes is exactly what we do with these massive media corporations.
Great advice. Well, thanks.
My pleasure.
For more on digital asset management, log on to anotherdamblog.com. Another DAM podcast is available on Audioboo and iTunes. If you have any comments or questions, please feel free to email me at anotherdamblog blog@gmail.com. Thanks again.